Hello.
And welcome to Stephen Roll's Beer Podcast.
Episode 337.
337. Know anything about interesting about 337?
No.
No, me neither. Let's drink some beer. What are we drinking, Roland?
The little hiss of joy that you will have heard is from the Vital Spark.
The hiss of joy.
Vital Spark is a beer from Fine Ales.
They do some pretty fine beers, don't they?
They do. Mm. Oh, they are pretty much perfect for the punning.
Mm.
So, if I think Gary's just going to stay silent here. He knows I'm about to wax lyrical over the joys of fine ales. Yeah, there we go. So, fine ales are based on the west coast of Scotland. They are not quite as far up as Oban. The Loch Fyne is a sea loch, which they are basically based at the very tip of it. They are a farm. It's interesting because I noticed on the front of it, they now describe themselves a farm brewery, rather than a farmhouse brewery, because there's been this big glut of people opening up saying we're a farmhouse brewery. You know, we're brewing farmhouse beers, but they're in a converted barn. Fine Ales is a farm. It happens to have a brewery on it. So they've got quite a big space out at the top of the head of the loch. They have got Highland cattle there. They've got deer. Actually, the brewery uses the spent grain from their brewing to feed the cattle, which is actually a great little use of efficiency. Because you can only get a certain amount of the sugars and stuff out of it, so it's still really valuable to the cattle as a feed.
No, brewery does something similar. They feed their spent grain to pigs and then use the pigs to make sausage rolls.
Odd enough, actually, I was at Weird Beard in London, and they've got a farmer from Ruislip turned up at the same time, just saying, okay, give us your spent grain, and they just got a couple of big bags effectively of spent grain that he loaded up on the back of his trailer and drove off with, which is what he was going to use for his pigs, I believe they were.
Long time ago I used to work in a fish and chip restaurant for a family, and they had a similar thing. They spent batter bits from the pans. Sieve the pans after every few batches that you're putting through, otherwise it just starts to turn to carbon and make your batter, leave you black specks. If you ever had chips with black specks on, someone's not filtering their fat properly.
And if you ever want to talk to Gary about chips, please allow a lot of time and get in contact.
But again, they had a pig farmer that came, and they take, you know, so long as they separated out the batter bits from everything else, because it's just waste, really. There's only so many people that want it on top of the chip. You always end up with bags of it, and they were like, let's just take it away for pig food for free. And it was nice. You know, it was something that you weren't paying for a waste company to
but it's basically fat and milk and other good stuff, you know, things that are valuable to the for eating.
Perfectly edible, so I'm all in favour of stuff like this.
So fine ales have seen a few changes. When I first came across them, they would have been a fairly traditional brewery. They had probably one notable exception, which was Jarl, which is probably one of the finest pale ales I think you're going to come across.
Mm.
Very generously hopped with citrate and really fantastic, particularly when it's on cask, I think, and they just nail it dead on. It's really incredibly good beer.
A fine beer on here before, was it not Jarl?
I think it was.
So
that's probably the beer that really introduced me to them. I was lucky enough to go up and to stay near there on the loch and spend some time. You can walk up along the loch to, they've got a brewery tap at the
that wasn't a coincidence brewery. At all either. He didn't plan that.
Not at all. There's a pretty good seafood shop as well, just around the corner. If you want your food, your seafood fresh off the boat, and your beef straight off the land, it's pretty spectacular. The brewery's got a lovely brew tap, but what they were just kind of starting doing at that point, this is a few years back now, was I think they looked outside what they were doing already and saw there's really a growth in farmhouse brewing. and actually, you know, they've got a farm. You can't really get more authentically farmhouse than actually being in the house on a farm. So I've seen a few of them now of their early range of more, I'm going to say, experimental types of beers. So they've had a series of beers that are kind of well fermented, have got fruits added, very much forage and kind of taking advantage of what's around them, and some seasonally based stuff. Really interesting to see them kind of going in that route. I think they really are another brewery that, if I think of them in that sense, they kind of remind me a bit of Salopian in that kind of, they managed to have feet in a few different camps at the same time and still look at home in all of those camps. So if you're at a real ale festival, I wouldn't be surprised to see their beers on there in cask, looking really nice in classic British cask ale. But I'm also not surprised to see them at craft events and at bars, on keg or big weird bottles. Like, they managed to do all that stuff very well. So kudos to Fine Ales for that one from me.
Well, yes, he said he was going to wax lyrical, and wax he did. What do we think of the beer, Roland?
I like the beer. I haven't really thought about it because I've been too busy waxing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going down well, which is always a good sign, isn't it? So
I always find that like a certainty with Fine.
So they describe it as a rich, dark ale. Can't really disagree with that as a descriptor.
Nope.
We've had a few of these style of beers the last few weeks. You know, these darker beers, but not like stouts and porters.
Yeah.
And I think,
I think this is almost a hat tip to the black IPA. For me, it's more in that the flavour is nearly, it's pulled back a little step from there. And the ABV, let me have a quick peer and actually check what the ABV was here.
Not what do we think?
4.4. So like it's almost a session black IPA for me.
Yeah. We didn't even think to check that. It was just like Fine Ales, open. It's just like, how strong is this? Ooh.
I get a little of those roasty flavours. Not aggressively so. But I don't know, like a bonfire-y kind of thing to it.
Yeah, I think much further, I probably wouldn't be enjoying it, because it is, it does leave a bitterness on the aftertaste. No, I enjoy a bit of bitterness on the aftertaste, but you wouldn't want it. I think if it went much further, you'd be talking about burnt notes rather than roasty notes, and like that I think they've just about
agreed.
Found the limit of what they can get away with there. So,
and there's a little hit of here hops,
very traditional British hop flavours, though, I would say. Not
well, interestingly, they're actually achieved with American hops, but
really?
I think they are definitely, they're more around the bitterness than they are really like the anything else.
Well, that's quite impressive, because like I was tasting that and it reminded me of like bitters in terms of the flavour. I thought, oh, they've probably got some English hops in here and none of this fancy New World stuff, but the fact that they've done it with New World hops and tricked me. And very impressive, because like the aromatics, like I wouldn't have thought at all like they were in there.
No,
unless my nose is broken, it's entirely possible. It's cold season, so.
On the flavour I got a little of the citrus, but for me it is definitely more like a bitterness than anything else.
Yeah,
I think what they've really done in their own way is a dark British beer that is, again, I think this would be one that's really good for cask. Again, I think this fits much more into their traditional lineup, but one that I would very happily enjoy. I quite enjoy this. I've got to admit, I get a little bit of the citrus that I quite enjoy, but it's not, sometimes for me those roasty and citrusy notes can be a little bit jarring. But there's not so much of it there, but that's an issue for me. It's definitely a roasty kind of first. It's a dark beer first with.
Yeah. And they've taken that into consideration. You don't want, you don't want flavours that start to contrast too much against one another. The flavours should be complementary for the most part. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. Do you want to? You've got the bottle top, so
I have.
Do you want to start wrapping this one up?
Yeah, and this is, if I'm honest, this is not the kind of beer I normally would jump to. It's probably a little darker for me than I normally prefer. I actually rather like the fact that it's at 4.4, which puts it back into the centre where I could have a pint of it rather than it being too big and heavy.
Which is convenient because the bottle's substantial.
Yeah, and this is definitely not a... This is for me a beer that is intended to be drunk in pints. It is not a beer that's intended for slow, delicate sipping in front of a fire.
Steve would be angry. There's a signature on the bottle.
There is.
Steve doesn't like signatures on bottles. Unless he was a brewer and it was his signature, then I'm sure he'd be all right.
But I like the flavours. I think they're actually very... they're well balanced in that sense of being, they're not over heavy or over robust. They're the right amount to be interesting and flavoursome without it getting hard work. Particularly that 4.4%, where I think it's very easy for those to kind of override that lighter body you get from it. So I think they've brewed it well. Not really my kind of beer, but a good brew from a good brewery. And I'm going to go with 7.5.
Oh, close.
Yeah.
I'm in agreement. I'm actually really enjoying this. It's very much, it's a traditional style of brewing that I enjoy. Like I said, it's for me, it's just it's a dark bitter more than anything. Yeah. And I really like that. And they've got the balance just right. Not a lot more else to say, really. I'm going to give it an 8.
Well, on that note, we should drink up and shut up. Oh, and before we drink up and shut up, we should make a formal apology to our many fans.
Plural, did you say?
Okay, fan. We should make an apology to our fan, okay. if that person chose to plan around it, that we have had to pull out of a planned...
Oh, yes.
Visit to Thirsk.
Yeah.
This weekend, which...
Which is unfortunate.
We are absolutely gutted about, but the real world unfortunately intruded on podcasting. And I really can't say how sorry we are about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry about that.
On that note, we will drink up and shut up.
We're done.